But just a reminder to write a thought down and just continue to open your hearts for what the Lord has for us. And we are so excited about what God did this summer, or has done this summer. It's still August, it's still hot, but it's coming to an end, and fall will be here before we know it. But I really enjoyed last week's message about forgiveness. Enjoyed that? It's essential that we forgive others, even when they don't deserve it, right? That's who God is. He forgave us, even though we don't deserve it. There is freedom in forgiving, isn't there? And there's power in forgiving. And there's maturity and growth in forgiving. So that's why that is important. And as we come on Tuesday nights, our prayer meetings, and I get to hear different people give their thoughts and ideas about what God's speaking to them about. And I really enjoy those times. I learn a lot. But I wanted to mention two of them that were brought up on Tuesdays. And Brother Demetrio mentioned this because we were talking about the sermon about forgiveness. The thought about was this: choose. We talk a lot about forgiveness, which is important, but choose not to be offended. That's a good thought, isn't it? It's not worth our time to be offended all the time. I like that, because a lot of times we get offended very easily, and then we let it direct our path. And so that was a very, I just thought that was a good word on Tuesday. And then Inez shared something about pride, and she said prayer is an antidote to pride. She quoted that, and I was thinking about that for a minute. Prayer is an antidote to pride, because when you keep praying and depending on God for all things, that prayer life will diminish your pride, because you are admitting you need God. So I like to look at it that I never looked at it that way, but I think that's so true. That when you pray asking God to lead you, to guide you, you're basically letting your pride die, because you're admitting you need guidance. Right? And what pride does, it says, I can do it my way. Everybody just leave me alone. I'll figure it out. And that's not how it works when we walk with the Lord. Amen? We can't do it all on our own. So I love those thoughts, and I just wanted to share them because I like to learn, and I like to continue to get thoughts that help us grow in the Lord. If you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, let's start there today. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The title of this sermon is Commit. Anybody know what commitment is? Ever heard of commit? When we begin to commit to the Lord, things start to happen. They really do. And I want to talk about that a little bit today, and how we can see that in Scripture. But things start to happen when we commit. And there's two types of commitment. I like to separate commitment into two different ways of looking at it. There's commitment to the work, right? There's commitment to the process, making sure things are done right. And then there's commitment to your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When we had our little workshop during the summer about ministry, service ministry, one of the main things that came out during that is this, that the process of serving is never, or the doing of the service is never, ever, ever more important than your commitment to that relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, pastors need to hear that. Leaders need to hear that. Because, you know, leaders, when they begin, they get so worked up in the process that they will literally make the process number one. And boy, we always have to check ourselves in the work of ministry, because that is never number one. It is always your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? You, right, leaders especially, people who are in ministry, you need to make sure that you understand and absorb the process is not more important than the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, He will lead you and guide you to commit to the process. Right? And that's so important. But commit to your relationship. Commit to the cause of the kingdom. So in this case, we mean both your relationship and whatever you're supposed to be doing in the kingdom of God. When we commit to that, things start to happen. Salvation is what God's interested in. Let's read that in verse 8 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. You know, that's the Bible's way of being really nice and saying, don't be stupid. Right? When the Bible says, be not ignorant, it's a nice way to say, you know, the S word, which I don't even like to use in my house with my kids. But I think in this case, the point was made, right? Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So here you get an idea that time, it doesn't manage God. Right? God's not wondering if He's got enough time to get to accomplish His plans. He's not time crunched. He's not worried about the time. God is everything. Being not ignorant of that. In other words, God's not confused. I like to say that. I told Casey I was going to write a book one day. God's not confused. That's a good title. But she told me there's a problem with that. I said, what? She says, you don't like to read books. And I'm like, well, the messer gave me a little teeny book so I can tell everybody. I read a book. He gave me this real thin book. Says, read it so you can read a book. But he's definitely not confused, and time is not a problem. Now, for you, that's a different story, right? Everything's about time, and everything's got to be in order. But God's not confused. Let's not be ignorant of that. God's in control. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Just because time has gone by doesn't mean God forgot His promises. Remember, in the summer, we did a whole series. This we know, every promise that God's made will come to pass. This we know, right? There is no doubt. Let's not be ignorant of that. Every promise is going to come to pass. If we serve Him, we live for Him, He will deliver the promised land for His people. He's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Long-suffering is a big word that means He's patient. Aren't you glad that God's patient with you? He's patient. He's meek. He's good. He is the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. Towards usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, God's will is that everyone, your family, the one you've been praying for, your relationship with Christ, His will is that all of us come to repentance. And everything that's happening around us is to bring us to repentance, right? And sometimes they're not pleasant things, but God's good. And He wants us to be with Him, committed to the cause, and growing in Him. Amen. So as we grow in our walk with our relationship with God, one thing you begin to notice is that you start finding joy in hearing about others who receive salvation. Or when you hear about others growing in the Lord, right? When you see this young person or this person getting excited about the things of God, you get excited about that. Right? You start looking outward and outside of your own wants, and you start finding joy in others, in helping others, and seeing others come closer to the Lord. So that's what we find as we grow in the Lord, that we will receive joy from watching others come to the Lord or others get closer to the Lord. And the reason for this is for this reason. Because it is God's will that all come to repentance. And as we grow in Christ, we become more like Him. You see? We're on this journey to become more like Him, which means we're going to find joy in what Christ finds joy in. We're going to find joy in what God and His kingdom finds joy in. You see, that's why when you first begin serving the Lord and you start to grow, things start changing. I used to think the most important thing in my life is to make sure that I support the Astros baseball team. I used to think that was the most important thing in my life. And my actions showed it. I listen, I support it, like a good fan, right? Any Cowboy fans in here? You all know what I'm talking about then, right? Yeah. Yeah. I used to think that was the most important thing, but as I love to tell this story, it was kind of a moment in my life I'll never forget, but it's true. And I learned as I was growing in the Lord that that's not the most important thing in my life. Not even second. But it was a process of learning. Well, I was listening to the Astros one night on the radio because I didn't have cable at the time. My mom was in the back row. I didn't have enough money for cable, Mom. So I didn't have cable, so I was listening to the radio. And I was supposed to pray that night because I had made a commitment that I was going to read my Bible and pray every day and I was going to grow. That I knew I was going to do it. And here it was, the game was on and it was late and it went into extra innings. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to pray. 11 o'clock, 11:30. It happened. And you can go back in the history books, probably sometime in the, 80s, maybe. I don't remember. Late 80s. There was like a 16-inning game or 19-inning game or one of those games that just went on. 18-inning games. You remember that game. You're an Astros fan too. Well, that was the night. I was listening and next thing you know, it's getting close to midnight. Now my heart's being challenged. Oh, I'll pray my Bible, read it. And I try my best not to do that now. Like, don't wait till that 11:45 or right before you go to bed, 10 o'clock, then pull out your Bible and pray when you're half asleep. Right? I get convicted about stuff like that. I don't know, maybe you don't, but I'm not paying attention anymore. I'm tired, right? So I don't want to do it then. But nonetheless, here I am listening to the Astros, and because it was the most important thing. And all of a sudden, my radio turns off. So it turns off, and I don't know how you describe it, but I was just totally convicted, totally feeling that wasn't an accident, totally just, sorry, Lord, got my Bible out, read, prayed, fell asleep. I don't even think I know what happened at the end of the game or the game, what happened. Maybe the Mets remembers who won that long inning game. They may have lost probably. But that night I learned something. I learned something about commitment, about what's most important. And that night never happened again. I was like, Lord, I got it. But see, we have to be willing to listen to it, to listen to His voice. And the next day I looked at the radio and turned up the, because I had turned it off, but I turned it on and it worked just perfectly. I still don't know what happened to this day, or maybe I do. But But God needs to be first. Amen? Amen. In all things. In all things. So as we grow, we begin to find joy in the things God finds joy in. Right? So now instead of making sure I listen to the Astros, and I still do listen every once in a while, like if they're playing some game that I'm happen to be in the neighborhood and I'm listening, but not very often. But I find so much joy in going out to the colonias and the community and being a part of something. See how God changes us? And all of you are kind of going through that process. We're going through it together. Where God's changing the desires of your heart. Where you want to be in church or you want to be part of something bigger than yourself. God is working on all of us. We become more and more like Him. It becomes our hope that all come to repentance. Just like it is God's hope. Even our enemies, which is, we want them to come to repentance. Now this one's a little bit tougher, huh? But the Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 44 and 45. Let's turn there. Matthew 5, 44 and 45. But I say unto you, Jesus says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Why does Jesus tell us to love our enemies? Why does Jesus tell us to pray for those who are hoping harm on us? Why? Because it is God's will that all come to repentance. Even your enemies. Right? Why? It says in verse 45, why? That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise in the evil on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Why is it important to love our enemies? Because when you belong to our Heavenly Father, your character becomes like His. When you begin to become His, your desires will change. Your hopes will change. And that's the truth. That's where we're headed in our growth. Another thing I've noticed as we grow in our relationship with God and our commitment with God is that we as Christians continue to be challenged about our commitment. Have you noticed that? You know, here you are, your life has changed and you're serving the Lord. And then you feel this conviction and challenge to do a little more, right, for God. Or to sacrifice a little more. It is true. He continues to challenge our commitment. Because that's part of growth. That's part of growing. And this is a good thing because if God wasn't your Father, you wouldn't feel these challenges, right? You wouldn't feel these convictions. But He is our Father. And He is convicting us. Are you in this fight for God's kingdom through the good times and the bad? Throughout the Bible, where you see commitment to the cause of the kingdom, you see conversions, you see salvations, you see God moving in a big way. And that's the title of the sermon. Commitment brings things to happen. And the most amazing miracle of all is salvation of a soul, right? Amen. When somebody realizes, I need God. I need to die so God can live in me. Not die physically, right? We need to die of ourselves. We need to die of our own way. Of our sinful way. And that begins to happen when there's commitment. Our best role model for all this is Jesus Christ. We all know that He was committed to God's, the Father's will. And because He was committed to the Father's will, even unto death, you and I have eternal life. Right? That's the perfect example. Because of the commitment to the Father's will, you and I are right standing before God. That is an amazing thing. That we, with all our faults, all our imperfections, we can be right standing before God. How do you know if your commitment is in word only or it's true commitment? Because we Christians, we've perfected the, you know, we can pretend. We can pretend everything's great, we're committed, we can quote scripture, we can say nice prayers. But how do you know if your commitment is just in word or is it real? Is it a real committed life to the cause of the kingdom of God? One way to know is when you begin to hit trials and hard times in life, do you grow stronger through them? Or do you lose faith? That's a really good question to ask honestly in your heart. When you go through hard times, are you grow stronger after these trials, or do you kind of detract and blame God sometimes for the trial? Let's go to an example in Scripture. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. Here was a trial. A trial that we know in Scripture. But let's read it. Chapter 3, verse 8. Wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou king has made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the band and all the instruments and all the kinds of music. They shall fall down and worship the golden image that you have there, Nebuchadnezzar. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor they worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they wouldn't bow down. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the cornet, the flute, the harp, the psaltery, the dulcimer, all the music, that you fall down and you worship the image which I have made. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Boy, that's a trial, isn't it? So Shadrach, Meshach, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if he does not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into this burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake And he said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, we did toss three men. And the king answered and said, lo, how come I see four men in there walking in the midst of the fire? And they have not been hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. These three Jewish boys in this Bible story is what true commitment looks like, right? Even unto death. These three boys demonstrated what commitment to their God looks like. These boys knew that they did not belong to their own agenda. They knew that their will was irrelevant. They knew that their plans were not as important as their commitment, right, to God. They knew that. They knew they belonged to God's agenda and God's will. They were committed to God and His will, even unto death. When they entered this trial, they didn't lose faith. Their faith was not shaken. As a matter of fact, their faith only grew stronger in the midst of this trial and this adversity. You know where we're going with this, church. It's time to grow stronger in adversity. It's time to look beyond circumstances and how we feel, that things aren't going our way. It's time to rise above things and be committed to the cause of His kingdom. Be committed, most importantly, to the relationship with Jesus Christ, but be committed to the calling that He asked for you. Do the work, right? That is commitment, where adversity doesn't shake us. Why? Because we are children of the Most High God. Amen. See, these three Hebrew boys, they understood that. They understood that their God will protect them. And if it didn't, it was okay because there's a better place. Or they saw the bigger picture, right? This world is not our home. They knew that. Amen. But while we're here, we're gonna be about our Father's business. And they knew that too. Difficult circumstances do not shake us because we know our God is with us. As a matter of fact, I believe that we're coming to a time when things might get difficult, and you know, the Bible says He separates the sheep from the goat, right? We want to be real. Our commitment to Christ has nothing to do with things going our way. We know when things don't go our way, God's glory will be revealed through it. Amen. You see, you know, the world is too busy measuring success by what we see with our eyes. When God is looking down at your heart and He sees success there, He sees your commitment. He sees what's first in your life. In Hebrews 13:5, God's word states, He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. If we read on in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28, remember, commitment leads to God doing things happening. And in this case, let's see what commitment did in verse 28. Then, after Nebuchadnezzar saw all of this, then the king Nebuchadnezzar spake, and he said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make a decree, the king says, that every people, every nation, every language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the province of Babylon. You know what happens when you commit? This happens. Now they became, everybody wanted to be like them. What God do you serve? I'm going to serve. Conversions, salvations, things happen. You see, commitment is what changed the world. Jesus committed. Abraham committed. Even through difficult circumstances. Commitment changed the world. So when we teach, and Pastor Green started this many years ago, when we teach to read your Bible and pray every day and go to church and be faithful in your tithes and offerings, and these are just symbols and actions of commitment, right? It's who we are. It should not actually be hard in the spirit, but it's hard in the flesh. But we are not of the flesh. The Bible says we are new. Eloy read that in the opening. We are new. We're of the spirit. And it's not who we are anymore. The commitment from these three boys resulted in conversions to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it is time. Time to commit. I'm going to ask Michelle to come and we're going to close. It's time to commit to our relationship with our God. We are children of the King. That's who we are. Amen. In Romans 8:31, God's word states, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed. If God is for us, who can be against us? In Romans chapter 8, verse 23, God's word states this, all things work together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus and who are called according to His purposes. All things. Yes, even the bad things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's a good God and He'll see us through. He will see us through. Church, I really do believe a wave is coming. I believe there's people in the harvest being prepared. And it's going to take people that are real and committed to show them the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And salvations will result. And things will happen. People will get closer to the Lord. But He's preparing us. You and me. A wave is coming. And I believe the harvest is ready to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. But it will take people with true commitment. You and I will be part, I believe, of an amazing move of people seeing that God is at work. Amen. They'll see it through you. Through you, each and every one of you, committed to the cause. It is God's will that no one should perish. Therefore, it is our will that no one should perish. Amen. We are people of God who only go stronger through adversity. We are committed to the cause of Christ. I want to open up the altars as we close today. And by coming today, you're saying this. I'm committed to the cause. I'm committed. You just feel you need to take a step, come to the altars to say this publicly, that I'm committed to the work, to the kingdom, to my relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's the important part. I'm committed, and no adversity is going to change that. No trial is going to change that. It's one thing to say I'm committed. It's another thing to say I'm only going to go stronger no matter what happens in my life. And that's what this call is today. And I believe some of you need to just walk as just confirmation in your own heart that you're not going to let circumstances define you anymore. You're committed no matter what. You're committed like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that said, and even if he doesn't deliver me, I will still not bow down to any other god. You see, I'm not just talking, are you committed? Come up. No, I am committed no matter what is happening. I'm serving my Lord, my God, no matter what is happening. And maybe you've fallen away from the Lord, or you've been searching and wanting to draw closer to God. And today's a day where you're going to take a step and say, I'm committed now. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And I'm going to react. I'm going to go and commit, no matter what, to Jesus Christ, my God, my Savior. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, I believe there's some in here today that you just need to take that step, that walk up here, and you just as confirmation in your own heart that, yes, I heard the Spirit of God, and I am going to commit to my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to commit to the work. If that's you, just come up. Michelle's going to sing a song, but it's time.